Chef Life. Well, it is the night before transport, and I am crossing all of my fingers and all of my toes that we really have this transport tomorrow. Apparently, y'all are supposed to have a wild amount of snow during intake, and the Wolf Trap team is worried that they will get snowed in at the hospital with these 53 animals, and apparently that doesn't sound like a fun weekend activity for them. Weird. I don't know, but I am going to go ahead and get everything ready in hopes that things go as planned, because not only is this a two-van transport, and that will be a ridiculous amount of animals for us to have to get resituated down here if they have to stay, but it is also going to be 10 degrees next week. 10! Just about every animal on this transport is safe in an indoor foster home down here, but if I've said it once, I've said it a billion times, my fosters are on a constant rotation. When they drop their fosters off at transport, they are also picking up their new fosters. It is rare that we have a full 24 hours go by before we are reloading. So it's not necessarily these 53 animals I'm worried about. It's all the other animals that are scheduled for the 31st transport that are supposed to be going into my foster homes after these 53 animals leave. If these don't leave, the January 31st animals are stuck where they are, and they are all currently outside or at a kill shelter with no heat. So we're a little stressed. I don't think any of us down here are going to sleep tonight because we are so worried about whether or not transport is going to get canceled in the morning. But anyways, I'm going to stop thinking about that before I work myself into a full body hives breakout. Well, I am jumping back on here to say that that transport did in fact get canceled. And to say we were devastated is quite an understatement. It is now 1 week later, and once again, the night before transport, and we have barely survived the week. We actually had to pay to board some animals because it was literally that or they freeze to death outside. It has been in the single digits down here, and these little bitty puppies just cannot handle that or find adequate enough shelter on their own. They're babies. But I am so proud to say, after a small hissy fit, that my team rallied, pulled themselves together, taking on way more than they should have had to, and we have kept every single animal in our care alive, safe, warm, and healthy all week. I think in total, across all of the animals we've committed to, we had 103 animals spread between 14 fosters, and that's including two vets where some were boarded. So, safe to say, we have been longing for tomorrow since last Saturday morning, but let's get back to their stories. I am super excited about this episode. If you listened to last transport's episode, I ended the podcast by asking everyone to rate, review, subscribe, all the things, in hopes of one day getting sponsors and monetizing the podcast enough that I can quit my job, which I love saying because everyone knows how obsessed I am with my job, but I do. I want to quit. I hate that my salary comes out of Wolf Trap money. I hate that they have to pay me so that I'm able to do this. I want to make enough money from the podcast so that I can quit my job and do it for free, so that all the money for my salary goes for the animals instead. And what do you know? We have our first ever sponsor. I am pumped. I posted on the Fosters page earlier this week that I had decided to do hot teas for the theme since January is hot tea month. Who knew? When I updated the post saying this, Deanna, one of our longtime members, had the brilliant idea to share it with her friend Rachel, who is the owner of the Eldon Street Tea Shop, and we are going to do some cross promotions. Love it, Deanna. Luckily, Rachel loved the idea too. She helped come up with all the names because your girl has never had a tea in her life. I had absolutely no idea how many different kinds of teas there were. I could easily do three transports worth of names with all these teas. So all of the names on this transport are of teas that Rachel sells at her Eldon Street tea shop. We are so excited to be partnering with them. They will be donating a portion of every tea purchase that's associated with the name of a wolf trap animal. And I would love to absolutely blow Rachel away at the amount of money she's going to have to donate to Wolf Trap because of how many teas she sells in the next few weeks. Now, I'm not quitting my job just yet, but what a fabulous start. One episode later, and we already have a sponsor. Jasmine Green Tea was found under a truck in the driveway of someone who lives a few houses down from the doghouse. If you're a new listener or if you just forgot, the doghouse is my old home. When I got married and moved to Alabama, I kept my house as the Wolf Trap South headquarters since it's where we do all the transports and where we were already using three rooms, half the garage, the backyard, and two sheds to store supplies. So now we use it to foster dogs too. And anyways, people in the area know that that's where we do rescue work. So it's not at all uncommon for people to dump dogs on my road and just hope that they make their way to me somehow. This neighbor that called us about Jasmine has called us many times before about dogs that were probably meant for me that wandered down to her house. Valentino showed up at one of our rescue partners' foster's homes. She posted looking for an owner, but finally realized that someone dropped him at her house, just like what I was saying about the doghouse. When people know you're in the rescue world, dogs magically appear in your neighborhood, on your road, in your driveway, everywhere. Tippy T is from a foster for our rescue partner, Hope. She went to a house that had some dogs chained up in the yard 2 weeks ago when we had a really big snow. She was going house to house and offering straw to people who had outside dogs, and then she saw this pitiful little puppy tied up in the yard in the freezing mud. She couldn't stand it, so she went to the door and asked the lady if she could have him just to get him out of the cold, and surprisingly, the lady agreed and let her have him. Unicorn Tea was found in someone's yard one morning. They're not sure if she was dumped at their house or if she just wandered around until she found a carport to take shelter in. But they posted her on Facebook looking for an owner, and when no one came forward, they asked us if we could take her. The E litter of two were dumped. This is the transport of dumped dogs, I guess. The lady that found them in the road in front of her house kept them for a few weeks trying to find a rescue or a shelter that would take them, but everyone in her area was full. She eventually reached out to our rescue partner, Hope, and asked her if she could help get them in with us. The H litter of two were, you guessed it, dumped. Hope said, quote, I saw a post on Facebook of these two adorable puppies being given away for free. I commented my normal spiel that I could get them into rescue where they would be vetted and spayed and neutered, etc. And thankfully, the lady messaged me and said I could come pick them up. So after last transport, I went by and picked them up on my way home. They live at the entrance of a state park, and sadly, she said they often get animals dropped off there, but she was very thankful that these two will have a great life. The W litter of two were found curled up together in a ditch. One of our fosters saw them and brought them home. Within 48 hours, she could tell they were very sick. She took them to the vet and they tested positive for parvo. She couldn't bear the thought of them possibly and probably dying, so she paid hundreds of dollars for them to be treated, and thankfully they made a full recovery. They kicked Parvo's butt and they are ready to find their forever homes. The P litter of two we think are probably siblings. They look just alike. The male showed up at a house in town. The homeowner messaged every rescue she knew to keep from sending him to the shelter, our kill shelter. Jessica was going to get him the day after our last transport when we had a foster open up, but the homeowner texted us during last transport to say a sister had shown up. So we got them settled at the doghouse the day after transport, and they have had a ball the last 2 weeks. They are only 3 months old, but they have mastered that doggy door in no time, and they have run literal miles going in and out of the laundry room to the fenced-in backyard. They also loved being able to go in the house and warm up, but then go right back out and roughhouse in the snow a few weeks ago. They have been so cute. The F litter of two are owner surrenders from a dog that was dumped. I guess that's the real theme of this transport. If you remember my story last transport about the L litter golden retrievers and how I said The people who took care of them were from Illinois because everyone who moves here from up north is immediately shocked and appalled at how little people down here care for their animals. Well, example number two. This guy also moved here from Illinois, coincidentally, from a town one town over from where I grew up. His dad lives next to the school where I went to kindergarten. Such a small world. Anyways, he messaged us and said he had come across 11 newborn puppies and their mom back in October. The mom had puppies in the woods behind his house. She apparently has died since then. They haven't seen her in several weeks. He found homes for 9 of them, which we hate, but he didn't know about us then. But because he can't have dogs in his house and because it's starting to get very, very cold outside, he was really worried about what to do for these 2 remaining puppies, and he asked us if we could take them. We went and got them the next day, and this may step on some toes a little bit, but what else is new with this podcast? I looked this guy up on Facebook when I realized how close we used to live to each other. And after combing through his page, I saw that he had been in prison, was out on house arrest, then paroled, and now, I guess, is free, I assume. And I find it so insane that a criminal, a full-blown felon, is taking in stray dogs, raising them, finding homes for them, worrying about them and their safety, while we have literal mayors and doctors and super important, upstanding, wealthy people driving past those very same animals in need on the side of the road and not doing so much as swerving out of the way for them. This guy took the time to research rescues and shelters in an area he's unfamiliar with just to ensure that these 2 puppies would be taken care of. It is ridiculous to me how little people down here care about animals. They can't even be bothered to ask their secretaries to pick up the phone and call us about the animals they saw in need, let alone stop and pick them up themselves and keep them safe until we can get them. Oh, I'm getting heated. I better stop. Oh, that makes me so mad. The M mama and her 5 M pups were owner surrenders. The mama, Matcha, wandered up to someone's house when she was pregnant. They were gonna keep her, but decided last minute that they wanted us to take her so she could have a better life. As much as I hate to say it, we are a little picky when it comes to adult pit bulls. We really want to make sure we test them and that we are sending good dogs. So when Jessica asked if this one could go, I told her we really needed to thoroughly test her and make sure she's a good, good girl. Jessica was going to see them the next day to see if the mama was even friendly enough to go to a foster home down here for a trial run. She said she met her at the Jeep, wagging her tail and jumped in her lap before she could even get her door all the way open. So while Jess was there vaccinating everyone, she thought one of the puppies was actually dead. It was crouched in the corner of the yard, it wasn't really moving, and as she got closer to it, she realized it was gnawing on a raccoon head. The mama and the other puppies had been following Jess while she was walking over there to check on this puppy, so then they all wanted a turn chewing on the raccoon head. Then the mama took the head and ran off into the woods, and all of the puppies were running as fast as they could after her. So for a good portion of Jess's visit to this house, she was standing alone in the yard waiting for any of the dogs to come back. Luckily, the mama is so insanely friendly that when Jess started calling and clapping her hands, she came running back. And fortunately, she still had the head with her, so everybody followed her too. Jess went back a day or two later to pick them all up and take them to their foster homes. And when she pulled up, some of the puppies were playing tug of war with the raccoon's skin. Oh, and when we got them settled at Mama Becky's to foster them, one of them threw up a whole mole, like swallowed a mole whole, and it just came right back up. Not a mark on it. So just something to think about before you let them lick you in the mouth. The sea litter of 8. Ugh, I hate this story. So, a lady messaged us one night about 4 adult dogs, which then turned into 9 puppies. Turns out she was talking about 2 different houses. We think she was so crazy, it was so hard to follow anything she was saying. The puppies belonged to her brother, and he was going to jail in a few weeks But apparently the puppies had to be gone that night, despite being there their whole 8 weeks of life. We told her there was nothing we could do that night, but we would be working on a plan for them and we would get them in a day or two when a foster home opened up. They live in the county, so the city shelter, which is a kill shelter, wasn't an option and no other rescues had any openings for them. Then the very next morning, we get a text from animal control with these exact puppies pictured at the shelter, minus one puppy, the cutest one, of course. He said some lady, it was a different lady than the lady we had been talking to, brought them in and claimed she found them running around downtown. So I messaged the first lady back and she said the puppies had, quote, been rescued, but didn't even know for sure who had picked the puppies up or where she took them. She did say that she gave away the cute one to someone else. And when we asked her what was going on with the adults and where they were, she said her brother had decided to sell them to make a little money before he left for prison. According to them, they were purebred blue pit bulls. I don't know if I believe that, but if it is true, those dogs will be used to fight in a heartbeat. And that makes me sick. The L litter of four. So a rescue friend asked if we could take six puppies because she had no room. She had seen them in the Walmart parking lot with a free puppy sign. She told the lady that if she could take them back home, she would find a rescue for them. And by the time she got back in touch with her that night, she had given two away. The owner promised not to give away any others, and thankfully, she really didn't. The mama will be getting spayed in 2 weeks, so there will be no more free puppies for them to give away at Walmart. The B litter of six came from a family in a nearby town. A mutual friend of Hope's asked her if she could get them into a rescue. She agreed and said as long as they surrender the whole litter, the rescue will pay to have the mama spayed. Next thing we know, the lady has given away the white one with blue eyes to a very young girl. Hope told her that if she didn't get the puppy back, that we weren't taking any of them. And sure enough, the owner went and got it back that very same day. She held on to all of them until transport. All six babies are Virginia bound and mama is getting spayed. The G litter of eight are actually a litter of six and a litter of two. And I think I referred to them as bottle babies, but I got my orphans mixed up. These were not bottle fed. At the end of November, Hope got a text from a friend asking if she knew anyone who could bottle feed two puppies. Her mom had passed away, and while she was at her mom's house cleaning out the house, she found two puppies under the house, and later that day found the mama dog dead in the road after it had been hit by a car. So Hope made a Facebook post asking if anyone had a nursing mama dog, and someone reached out to her saying that she had a mama and six puppies that were 2 weeks old, which was approximately the same age as these two orphans. She said that this mama had already nursed four extra puppies a few days ago from another mama that had been killed. But when they heard about yet another mama dog who was distraught because all of her puppies had died, they sent those four extra puppies over to be with her. Y'all, it is not even puppy season yet, and we have so many nursing mama dogs. Anyway, we sent the two orphans to be with the new mama, and she accepted them immediately, never looked back, took them right in as her own. The owner of that mama asked if Wolf Trap would take her biological six puppies when we took the orphans too. And if you know me at all, you know there are very few things I love more than a mama dog taking in orphan puppies. So I was more than happy to help out this sweet girl. Within the last few weeks, Wolf Trap paid to have the mama spayed. She's gone to her forever home and she is now the resident couch potato and very glad to be away from all them babies. As for the cats, it is slim pickings this time of year, but we've got a few. Orange Spice was a stray in town that somebody contacted our local cat lady about. She was just going to neuter him and turn him loose, but she said he was so sweet and friendly she hated to do that and asked if we would find him a home instead. And can I just say, there is not a more perfectly named animal in the history of Wolf Trap transports than this one. He is an orange tabby named Orange Spice. I mean, come on. I know historically my names are atrocious, but I have my days. Give me some credit with this one. Pregnant cat Sencha, pregnant cat Rose Hips, the D litter of two and the A litter of two are all coming from the same home, the Newfie house. There are not enough hours in the day to look up all the animals we have taken from this home. I don't think any of them, especially these kittens that are on today's transport, are related to any other litters. This lady lives on a dead-end road way out in the county and takes in every single animal she sees. We take just about everything from her and we spay and neuter what we don't, the ones that she wants to keep. But she is always getting something new and it is almost always pregnant. That is all for today. Again, all these names on this transport are from the Eldon Street Tea Shop. Her shop is in the Lake Ann Plaza in Reston. They're closed Mondays and Tuesdays, but they're open Wednesday through Sunday. They also have a website where you can order teas to be shipped to you. They also do tea parties and private events, which, are you kidding me? A real-life tea party is a dream. I wish we had a place like this down here, but we're too country to have nice things like that. But make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Eldon Street Tea Shop to see all the cute pics that they're going to post of our critters and so you can get updates on upcoming events that they have. Snap a picture of your foster and their namesake tea if you go or if you order teas to your house and make sure you post it either on the foster's page or just send it to me because I have to see that. That is all for this week. We have another transport scheduled for January 31st as well. So if you missed out on any of these cuties, make sure you sign up for that one. We've got some little bitties and some super cute healers on that one. Thank you all for your ratings, your reviews, and subscribing to the podcast. Y'all will never know how much you mean to me. It's a rough life, but someone's gotta do it.